Every day, it seems, we hear about people who are overdosing in our cities, often right in our neighborhoods. Today, President Trump declared the opioid epidemic a national emergency.
Families, communities, and citizens across our country are currently dealing with the worst drug crisis in American history.
But the president said it's not just an American problem.
The fact is, this is a worldwide problem. This crisis of drug use, addiction, and overdose deaths in many years, it's just been so long in the making. Addressing it will require all of our effort, and it will require us to confront the crisis in all of its very real complexity.
But here's the thing. The U.S. has just 4% of the world's population, but it consumes 30% of the world's opioid supply, and Canada follows closely behind. So why is the problem so much worse here in North America than in other parts of the world? To get some answers, we turn to Dr. Benedict Fisher. He's the chair in addiction psychiatry at the University of Toronto. A couple of years ago, Fisher and his team looked at differences in the way opioids are advertised, sold, and prescribed in North America, and then did a global comparison.
First of all, in North America, we're societies where we treat ailments primarily through drugs. For almost everything, you know, from diabetes to heart problems to erectile dysfunction, are the solutions a drug. And our medical systems, our medical cultures are primed, systemically conditioned into prescribing drugs, typically at higher levels than most other countries, for almost everything. So we just jump to the prescription pad way too quickly for too many people and provide them with these drugs at too long a time. And one of the factors that's driving that, of course, also is the way our medical systems are designed as basically, you know, they're basically industrial businesses in a way. And for every patient that walks into a physician's office with pain, the most cost-effective thing for the medical system, of course, is, you know, rather than doing an extensive diagnosis and looking at potential somatic or psychological symptoms and experimenting with different things, is just to grab the prescription pad and write a script for something that will, for a while, provide some symptom relief, but then at the end of the day, for many people, cause more long-term problems than solutions.
So European countries have very different public health systems than we do in the U.S. I'm curious to know, how much does that change the overprescription factor when you kind of look at Europe?
It does very much because the prescribing and the way these drugs are handled and approached in the medical systems in terms of prescribing is typically regulated much more tightly. In many countries, you only have certain physicians allowed to prescribe them, or the regulated dosing or length of prescriptions are different. A lot of the potent opioids are only used in hospital settings. So there are many different regulatory and other practical, but also cultural things. You know, in Europe, physicians often think a lot more, you know, what are really sort of the causes behind certain symptoms, and are there things other than drugs we can apply here?
How much of a factor is the aggressive marketing by pharmaceutical companies? Like, do you find big pharma commercials in Europe the way we do here?
It's a huge factor, and definitely for opioids was. You're asking me about advertising in Europe. It doesn't exist. There are only
Why not?
Countries because it's illegal. The decision makers and regulators have decided that that's not a desirable good thing, not in the interest of the health of the population. And so there are only two countries in the world where direct-to-consumer advertising is allowed, and it's the United States and New Zealand.
Dr. Fisher, what is your advice for slowing down this crisis in North America, reversing these unnecessary deaths?
Well, a few things have begun, but we sort of maneuvered ourselves in a sort of in a double jeopardy thing, because we let this train accelerate and accelerate in terms of the over-prescribing and all the related harms. And then all of a sudden people realized that this train was going in the wrong direction at way too high a speed. And people have been trying to stop that train. The problem is that with those existing conditions, a lot of people using these drugs and habituated into these drugs and medical supplies drying up, that these restrictions have been bringing in the very undesirable and often highly toxic supplies of illicit opioids. So in the U.S., heroin use has been going up as a consequence of restricting prescription opioids. The illicit fentanyls and fentanyl analogs have been coming in, have been produced. So this is a real challenge. We're really at a point where we're not exactly sure what is it better right now to further restrict aggressively medical opioid supplies or leave them at a certain point until we can deal with all the people, you know, that are dependent on them, that are using them at risk and are at risk of overdose.
Dr. Benedict Fisher, the chair in addiction psychiatry at the University of Toronto, thanks very much for speaking with us.
Very good talking to you.